Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 416, the stanzas 1 and 3. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, as so my soul doth pant for thee, and what follows. Psalter 416, the stanzas 1 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Romans 8, the verses 26 through 39. First, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 8, beginning with verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who was even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal on this holy day of rest, when as a people, when as poor sinners, we attempt with our unclean lips to draw nigh unto thee, then each time it is so necessary, so indispensable, so profitable, so God-glorifying, and so man-abasing, that we may receive profound impressions unto whom we speak, an impression of thy greatness, of thy majesty, of thy glory, yea, of all thy divine attributes, but also an impression of our poverty, of our sinnership, of our guilt, and that we are so dependent. Apostle has written in thy word, in whom we live, we move, and have our being. Then on this Sabbath day, then we and our children may still continue our journey through this time to that never-ending eternity. For our oldest member, in this afternoon hour, then our journey here below has come to an end. For her it has become eternity, 'tis written in thy holy word. So the tree falleth, so it shall forever lie. Then we commend that mourning family unto thee. Wilt thou remember, wilt thou uphold, and wilt thou sanctify. Lord, there are many mourning ones amongst us, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Oh, do continue to uphold them. Wilt thou place underneath thy everlasting arms, and, oh Lord, wilt thou teach us all to die before we have to die. May we be given to number our days and so apply our hearts unto wisdom's ways. Then thou granteth this time unto the children of men, that they may be given to seek, and that they may be given to find thee. Lord, bind the reality, the solemnity, the seriousness, and the shortness of life, and the certainty of death, of judgment, and of eternity upon all our hearts. Thou knowest how deep that we have fallen, and that the natural man, that he seeks his happiness in the things here below. The natural man lives here below as if he shall remain here forever. Then by nature there are none that seeketh after thee, but, O Lord, now the great wonder that thou wert seeking out thy chosen church. Then we humbly ask thee, wilt thou do it in this evening hour? Shoot arrows into the hearts of the king's enemies. Wilt thou grant unto our boys and our girls a new heart that loves and fears thee, a heart that hates sin, and a heart that needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant unto our young people that good choice of a Ruth. Wilt thou remember the middle-aged, remember our elderly ones in the evening of their life. And Lord, where thou hast begun, wilt thou grant those further leadings? Wilt thou take everything away that is not the foundation? And wilt thou place them upon the rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified? Bless the manifold means of grace. Remember the consistory, who is sufficient unto these things. May our eyes truly be upon the King, upon thee, from whence all our help must come. And may those labors be blessed on the Sabbath day during the week. We remember the catechism classes, the confession of faith class, all awaits for thy blessing. Bless the labors in the midst of the family circles. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to that end? Bind around the old truths and the old ways as written in thy word. Wilt thou bless our Christian school when in the day of tomorrow they hope to commence by renewal? Wilt thou grant traveling mercies over the unsafe roads? Wilt thou remember all those that may labor therein? Bless thy word when it may be opened. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember the many places, the many that are persecuted. Remember all in prison, may it please thee in this day to grant special tokens of thy presence and of thy favor. Remember land and country in these dark and solemn times, where under thy solemn speaking, that the government in general no acknowledgement, that thou art the supreme ruler, and that all the means must be blessed by thee. A denial of thy creation, of marriage, and that thou wast made the male and female. Lord, may it please thee to open their eyes that they may see, that they may be given to turn from their foolishness. Then we are given to see that we live in the latter days, and that the bitter enmity against thee, thy word, thy law, and thy institutions, that is multiplied, and that Satan has but a short time. Lord, impress it upon all our hearts that thou art on the throne. And then in this evening hour, when we hope to commence by renewal the Heidelberg Catechism, the instruction which thou was given to the church in the days of old, then we hope to hear of precious things. May we be aroused to a holy jealousy, and may many prayers, may they ascend unto thee, the living God, in this evening hour, that we may receive, that we may be possessor of that comfort. Then it is well for time and for eternity. Lord, then by renewal, then we remember the many temporal needs. Thou wast given relief from the cold winter weather for man and for beast. Well, thou continue to provide for our daily bread, the cares, the concerns, they can be manifold. Well, thou remember all our elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, a mourning family, another empty place. Thou art speaking in a special way. Wilt thou uphold, and wilt thou remember them with all the elderly ones in the evening of their life. Wilt thou remember the sick and the afflicted ones. Oh, that little son, oh Lord, wilt thou go with him, with his parents, to the hospital. Guide the hand of the physicians. May it be blessed. May it prosper in thy hand. Wilt thou grant further healing, that he may have been spared, as a monument of thy grace, thy time, to declare thy praises. Remember him together with parents and family. Remember the father that is scheduled for surgery on the same day. Wilt thou also go with him? Bless the physician, bless the means, sanctify the callings. Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care, the difficulties of the body, the difficulties of the mind. Wilt thou remember the handicapped amongst us with those that care for them. Remember prodigal sons, remember prodigal daughters, remember the family circles. Oh, may thou grant that love may abound when it is not so. Wilt thou grant repentance. What is separated, bring it together according to thy holy word. Lord, now we humbly ask thee for thy help. May it please thee to take the service over. Grant thy spirit in speaking and in listening. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 398, the three stanzas. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bow down with grief, are helped by his most gracious hand. And what follows, 398, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 1, the questions 1 and 2. Question 1, what is thy only comfort in life and death? Answer, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Question number 2, how many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? Answer, 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Lord's Day number 1, that speaks of the Christian's only comfort in life and death. With 3 thoughts, in the first place, the thought provoking question. In the second place, the comprehensive answer. And in the third place, the indispensable knowledge. The Christian's only comfort in life and death. The thought-provoking question, the comprehensive answer, and the indispensable knowledge. Thus first, the thought-provoking question. Beloved congregation, the Lord has granted in his providence that we and our children, that by renewal, that we may commence with the explanation of the Heidelberg Catechism. For many of us, we have heard it already many times. For our little children, and not so many times. There were those present with us when we have commenced the Heidelberg Catechism the last time, that are no longer with us. We know not the day of our death. and then the necessity that by the work of the Holy Spirit, that we and our children, that we may be given to experience these precious truths. In the back of our Psalter, then there are three economical creeds, that means universal, namely the Apostles, Nicene, and the Creed of Athanasius. They are short statements concerning what the Church believes, and they have been adopted by the majority of the Christian churches over the ages. In our Confession of Faith, in Article 9, then those three are mentioned. The Heidelberg Catechism, that is one of our doctrinal standards, or one of the forms of unity, which have been adopted by our Synod of Dort in 1618, 1619. Then the three forms of unity, they have a special purpose in the midst of the Church, namely, to instruct, to profess to the world what the Church believes, and also to defend against error. The Belgian Confession of Faith, formulated by Guido de Bree in 1561, that professes what the Church believes. Our canons of Dort, they defend against error, especially against the error of the Remonstrants, the Arminians. The Heidelberg Catechism, that was formulated that the Church and the youth may be instructed. It was formulated in 1563 under the direction of Frederick the Prince, a man that grew up as a Roman Catholic out of a royal family. He fell in love with Maria, a girl from a Lutheran royal family. And Maria has said to Frederick, "You may have me to wife, but then you must promise that every day that we read and search the Bible and the readings of Martin Luther." And because of Frederick's great love, then he has kept that promise, and that study and searching, that was blessed and sanctified, that Frederick was converted. Because of their religion, they have lost their inheritance. They have lived in much poverty, and that prince has experienced many sorrows. Where Alberta, their daughter, the Lord has taken away a few weeks before her 15th birthday, and 3 years later, a son was drowned. That Frederick became prince over a state in Germany, and that prince, he sought the welfare of his people outwardly, but also concerning the truth. And in that time, the time after the Reformation, and then there were also differences in the Reformed Church between the Calvinists and the Lutherans. And then Frederick the Prince had a desire that they would be unified. What a difference, congregation, with our days. When we think of our governments, and let us always remember that our government officials, that they come out of our family circles. It is the fruit of our country leaving the Word of God in former decades. Then the Bible and prayer has been taken out of the institutions of learning. And now we are reaping the bitter fruits. And alas, also concerning the seventh commandment, how many mainstream churches, denominations, have departed so far from the Word of God. Then we are given to see that Satan has but a short time, and that the enmity against the Lord, against His Word, against His institutions, against His law, against His people, that is greatly on the increase. But we hope to hear in this evening hour that the Lord still reigneth. To that end, Frederick the Prince, he has asked two young men in our midst, they were not so old, Caspar Olivianus, 26 years old, and Zacharias Ursinus, 28 years old. Caspar Olivianus has experienced what it is to be persecuted for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to that end, with others, he has spent time in prison. But under Frederick the Prince, then he was released. He was a preacher of the gospel in the courts of government officials. Zacharias Ursinus, he was professor at the Heidelberg University. And these two men, they have been asked to write a catechism that the church, that they may be instructed concerning the truths of God's holy word. And now concerning this catechism, then it is so experiential, but it is also so practical. And then the first question, what a thought-provoking question it is. It is a question that comes in this evening hour, we would say. It is house visitation. That in this evening hour, then that question comes to every boy and girl, to every youth, middle-aged and elderly ones. And then there is asked, what is thy only comfort, thus in the first place? Oh, it is a blessing when we may come to God's house, that we may also be exercised with our fellow man. for those who by the free and sovereign grace of God have experienced something of this comfort, then it is a blessing when we may sit in God's house and that we may send many petitions to heaven and that we say, O Lord, may it please thee to grant this comfort to my wife, to my husband, to my children, to the whole family circle, to young and old. Then what is comfort? Then we may explain it so, that is to be happy. That is our desire for each and every one of us. Oh, the Lord has created us so. Then in paradise, then in Adam and in Eve, they were given to walk in that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Then it was their rejoicing when their Creator and Benefactor was honored by them. Then there was no sin. There was no fear. There was no sorrow. And there was no death. But on account of our deep fall in Adam, then what a misery has come upon the world. Job has said, when he is sat on the pile of ashes, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And notwithstanding, by the common goodness of the Lord, then the Lord has yet left many precious and good things amongst us. Oh, what a privilege and what a blessing. Oh, when there is love in the midst of the family circles. Oh, what a blessing when God's holy word may still have a special place. Oh, what a privilege when we may have a tender conscience. And now that word comfort, that implies to be free of cares and free of worries. Thus, that is a deep word. And now in this evening hour, then it is such a personal question. What is thy? And when we speak of comforts, then there are many comforts which the Lord has left upon this world. And then in this evening hour, if we would go from bench to bench and from person to person, and we would ask concerning those comforts, then the answers would be manifold. If we would ask you, oh, what is now thy greatest comfort? Oh, what now granteth the greatest happiness in your life? Then perhaps the answers would also be varied, although they may be very similar. Ask a boy and girlfriend. Ask a husband and wife. Ask the family circles what a comfort it is. When the Lord spares, when the Lord cares, when the Lord provides, and when the Lord protects. Solomon, we may say it in his book, Ecclesiastes, that he has made an experiment because Solomon had money enough. And then he has examined the many comforts. But then in that book, in chapter 1, verse 2, and repeated in chapter 12, verse 8, then he has said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And now our instructors, they ask, and then we got to remember the time that our catechism was written, that it was a time where there was persecution. It is true, not a general persecution, but in different places, in different countries, that the stakes were still erected. It was the time in France when the massacre of Vassy is taking place, and in 9 years, that horrible massacre of St. Bartholomew. Thus the instructors have written this catechism when there was persecution and when there was death. But now concerning, and therefore, the instructors do not only ask, what is thy only comfort in life? Because concerning those comforts, I hope, congregation, that you think many times upon these things. Bishop Ryle has stated in a certain place that it is necessary and a blessing when the people in church, when they may be given to think, no, it is not enough. It has to be sanctified, but that we may be given to ponder over the things that we may hear. And now concerning the comforts in this life, then how uncertain they can be, a comfort that we may possess one day and that we are called upon to miss the next. We are all traveling to eternity, and young and old tell me in this evening hour, oh, it is true. May we be given to pause oftentimes concerning the many comforts which the Lord grants unto us and our children, privileged above most of the people upon the face of the earth. And may it be what I read in Romans 2 verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance. But all the earthly comforts, oh, let us add, we shall also have to give an account of the manifold comforts which the Lord so richly gives in the midst of trials and in the midst of afflictions unto us and our children. But now our instructors, what is thy only comfort in life and death? Because the comforts here below, they come to an end, congregation. We cannot take one of those comforts, these earthly things, along. And therefore, what is thy only comfort in life and in death, that now requires an answer in this evening hour. And now tell me your answer concerning that comfort, thus it is an only comfort, a specific comfort, a particular comfort, a singular comfort. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? Thus that question implies, can we meet our Maker? To say it simply, boys and girls, that question implies, is given to ask whether you have received a new heart. Because, oh, what a rich answer. That is our second thought, the comprehensive answer. And then in this answer, Lord's Day number one, we may consider it as an introduction, but also the summary of the whole Heidelberg Catechism. Then the instructors, they do not wait till Lord's Day number 52 to tell the full riches of that comfort, and that is for two reasons. In the first place, that already in this evening hour, when we have heard that precious answer, that we may become so jealous and that we may be filled with a holy unrest, that in this very evening, that as poor sinners, that we may be given to cry unto the living God, that in this very hour, that we may become partaker of this comfort. And in the second place, we do not know how many Lord's Days we shall be privileged to speak of and to hear of, because there is only a step between us and death. And now the instructors, then they have said, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? Then many times, maybe young people, when you think of these things, then you think of what you need for eternity, because no one wants to go to hell. But the instructors, they have also spoken of that comfort in this life. Thus the instructors, they are impressing upon all of our hearts that there is such a blessedness and such a sweetness in the service of the Lord, that the service of the Lord is such a good service. It is true. The child of God, they are given to weep many tears, but that is not because of that service, but that is because of their sin and because of their evil heart. Because when it pleases the Lord, by his free and sovereign grace, that we may be given to taste something, even something of that comfort and the sweetness thereof, then we are ruined for the world, and then we have a desire that all people may be given to experience that comfort. That I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own. Then the instructors, they are given to speak of a great an unfathomable wonder, it is true, through our deep fallen Adam, then we think we have become our own. Then we think we are our own boss. We are so independent. Oh, the fall of in Adam was very deep. But it is not true that we are our own, because we have come under the banner of the Prince of Darkness, and we are a slave of sin and of our lusts. But now the instructors, they are given to declare that therein is no comfort. The end shall be very bitter, because congregation, do you really think that one sinner can hold it out against that Almighty, against that just and that righteous God? No, it shall never be. It cannot be. I even read in the Philippians that there is written that every knee shall bow before Jesus. Oh, for God's people, that is a willing bowing, but for the unconverted, it shall be unwilling. Thus a great wonder that I am not my own. Oh, then the instructors are given to speak that by that wonder of free and sovereign grace, then I become the possession of another. Then I am taken by an almighty hand, by the work of the Holy Spirit, from under the banner of the Prince of Darkness and placed under the banner of King Jesus. Oh, what precious things that the instructors are given to speak of, and that wonder that is further declared. Thus am not my own. Then the instructor is given to speak of a new master, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That is by the wonder of regeneration. That is possible by purchase, by the application of the Holy Spirit. Oh, then the instructors, do you hear it, young and old, arousing to a holy jealousy? Then the instructors, then they may be given to declare the wonderful things of the Lord which they have experienced. It is thought that this first answer, that it has come from words that were spoken to Olivianus when he was struggling with that comfort, when he was walking over the world with the sins. And in the Roman Catholic Church, there was much amiss, but there was still a remnant. And then there was a priest that said to Olivianus, my boy, never forget that God's people of all ages, even in the Old Testament, found their comfort in the life and death, in the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the instructors, they are given to speak, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, then the instructors, they are given to extol the faithfulness of that mediator. Oh, he was faithful from eternity, where he has given himself. He was faithful in the fullness of time, when he has assumed the human nature. Oh, he was faithful when he has tabernacled here upon the earth. He was faithful in bringing his Father's message. He was faithful as the Father's servant. Oh, in these Passion Weeks, then we may see the faithfulness of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. that it was his delight that he may do the will of his Father and finish his work. Oh, see him then, Church of God. See him, congregation, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, see him in the judgment hall of Gabbatha. Oh, see him then on the cross of Calvary. Oh, that faithful Savior. Oh, what a love and what a willingness that he was willing to leave his Father's throne, that he was willing to suffer, that he was willing to die. Oh, he was faithful. He has cried out, it is finished. Oh, he is resurrected the third day. Oh, how faithful he was to visit his church. He is faithful at the right hand of the Father. But belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Can we now say that, congregation? That is now the question in this morning, in this evening. Can we now say what the instructors are saying? Then I hope that there are souls. Oh, what the instructors have said here, that is too great. But what are exercises? What do we long after? What is the most important in this evening hour? What shall now make us the most happy? Are there no souls? Oh, that I've learned. We have sung together out of Psalm 42, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Are there souls that can say, Ach, Lord, thou knowest all things. Ah, thou knowest my sin. Thou knowest my burden. But what would make me thou the happiest in this evening hour, if I could repeat, not only in the way of desire, but in the way of assurance. Oh, that with that insurance, that I knew that I belonged to that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, he is so faithful. He is faithful that he shall continue to gather his church. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, then in this precious answer, because the instructors, they have received it all from naught, free in sovereign grace, but they were given to glorify in that wonder. Oh, he is so faithful unto his people, and the wonder only becomes greater, faithful for an unfaithful church. Let us first sing. Psalter 327, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Lord, thy word to me remember, thou hast made me hope in thee. This my comfort in affliction, that thy word hath quickened me. And what follows, 327, 1, 3, and 4. but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. How is that now possible? Were in our deep fallen Adam, that we have broken the covenant, transgressed His law, and by our actual sins, that we daily increase our debt. Are there people that are exercised with their debt and with their sin? Has our sin, has that become a burden? Or is it still our delight? Have we learned to cry after and for the Lord? Have we learned to weep? Have we been filled with a holy jealousy concerning the portion of God's people? And then we have said this answer, only an introduction, a summary, then the instructors are given to mention the great price that it has cost Christ to redeem His children. And that is the great price of His precious blood, hath fully satisfied for all my sins. Then the instructors already in this answer, then they are given to impress upon all our hearts that satisfaction that it must and that it shall be made by us or by another, young and old. How is it with our sins? We cannot appear before our Maker as we are born. The justice of God requires punishment temporally and eternally. Are there people that are burdened? Because for a burdened people, oh, what a precious answer. May it please the Lord in this evening hour to use this precious answer for burdened souls, that they may receive hope and eye outside of themselves, because, young and old, if we are not troubled with our sins, oh, then do ask the Lord that He may give you that trouble. That is a trouble and a sorrow that I wish for each and every one of you, that by the enlightening work of the Holy Spirit, that you may be given to live in and to experience the exceeding bitterness of sin, that it causes that separation. Are there such burdened souls? Oh, for those burdened souls, and what does the Spirit teach them? Ah, we hope to hear it when the Lord grants it in the catechism, when the Lord sheds that love abroad, when we become a handmaiden, a servant. Ah, then we try to satisfy for our sin. Then we come in the workhouse, and then we try to please the Lord. Has that become your life, congregation? Or can you continue sinning from day to day and maybe not much trouble? I still hope that you still have a tender conscience, and under all the solemn callings, how solemnly the Lord has spoken in the past year and this day, the Lord has taken out of this life our oldest member. The Lord is speaking with the virus. Then, congregation, is the Lord not speaking unto us in a special way? and the necessity of this comfort, but now for burdened souls that walk over the world with a sin upon their back, have tried so hard to satisfy, and a sinner still demanding justice. Oh, then what a precious gospel. The Savior, the faithful Lord Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins. And then maybe there are souls that have a hope that the Lord knows of them, souls that have made that precious and unregrettable choice, souls that have learned to love the Lord, his word, his people, his day, his institutions, people that need satisfaction, but that they say, I have so much trouble with the devil. Do you have trouble with the devil, congregation? Do you have much trouble with the devil, with his temptations, with his whisperings? Oh, what can be in the life of the church? 'Tis a strife, and the devil can be so angry. Come as a roaring lion, as an angel of light. But the instructors may say, founded upon God's word in Romans 8, then we have heard of the blessings which Christ has merited for the church. Oh, if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And then further, and then we shall close. Then the instructors, they have added, and that is precious for the time that we are living in, what a fears there are concerning the virus in this world. Ah, the poor world. They have no place to go. The poor world does not believe in an almighty God, the creator and the upholder of the heavens and of the earth. The world believes in chance, and the world thinks they have everything in their hand. What a poor world. But now the portion of Zion, then the instructors, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Do you hear a congregation that even the smallest things, all our hairs, that they are all numbered? We read that in Matthew 10, verse 30. That means that the Lord also has the virus in his hand. Oh, then in this Lord's day, then the instructors, they may be given to speak of that trust, have been purchased, and that the Lord shall care for them, that the Lord shall watch over them. Oh, in the word of God, oh, what an encouragement we read each time by renewal, those that may simply trust in the Lord. Congregation, it can be tried, but the Lord has promised, because concerns his honor and glory, those that may trust, those that may lay it before the Lord, even concerning the smallest things, that they shall not be put to shame. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Then you must agree already in this first part of this answer, what a riches, odd than the instructors. They may display that pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to seek and to save those that are lost. Then the instructors, they are given to speak of that comfort in life and in death. Then the instructors, they are impressing upon our hearts the blessedness of the service of the Lord. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? What is your answers, boys and girls? That we have heard of precious things. What is your answer, young people? Have we ever become jealous? Do we ever shed tears? Are there times, children, that you cannot sleep at night and that you are given to fold your hands and say, "Oh Lord, I need a new heart that loves and that fears thee, because I must also die." And we have experienced that the old must die, but that the young can die, older ones, middle-aged. We have heard the catechism so many times of the precious things of the Lord. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? When we become older, then we shall experience that the full satisfaction, oh, not to despise the good things that the Lord grants unto us, but that it cannot give that full satisfaction. An old minister has said that around the world, that it can never completely fill a triangular heart. What is thy only comfort? Have we received a hope? Because this comfort must be experienced not only in intellectual knowledge of the mind, but it must be experienced in the heart. What is thy only comfort in life and death, people of God? What a precious answer, and how much do we dare to say concerning this answer? Oh, in the furtherance of this answer, there is spoken of that assurance. We have heard of that assurance out of Romans 8. Oh, when the Lord grants that faith to believe, then it may be that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins. May it please the Lord to grant the further leadings in the life of his children. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of precious things, and who was able to declare the depth, the height, the width, the breadth of the precious things of the Lord? Thou, as a people upon the earth, that may know something of those precious things, may their number be increased, but also their light, their knowledge, and their faith. Lord, we may commence another week. Then once more we commend unto thee the morning family, where we are called upon to go to the cemetery to bring our mortal remains to the grave. May the calling be sanctified. Lord, wilt thou be the after preacher? May we be given to examine, to ask ourselves that question concerning that only comfort in life and death, Lord. May it please thee to spare us in this week. Remember the mothers in the home with the children during the daytime. In the night watches, wilt thou remember the unborn? Wilt thou remember at school, remember at work? Wilt thou remember on the way? Wilt thou grant strength and health? May we be found to be good stewards of all that thou hast entrusted unto us. And, Lord, may all thy goodness and all thy blessings and the many comforts which thou so richly bestows upon us, may it not lead us further from thy word, but bring us closer to thy word. Give that repentance, Lord. Wilt thou grant deliverance also concerning the virus? Thou art waiting to be gracious, that thy church may be given to repent. May we be given to turn unto ourselves. Wilt thou now watch over us in this evening hour? Bring us safely to our dwellings. Grant a prayer for one another. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 53, the five stanzas, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by, and what follows, Psalter 53, the five stanzas. Array save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.